Hey, I'm Alita Reynolds, and welcome to the Faith Film Fan podcast. Faith Film Fan is the home for the latest movie news, updates, exclusive content, and all the things that you as a Faith Film Fan love. Let's talk with Rod Barr, the screenwriter for Cabrini. Here we go. Rod Barr, thank you for joining me for this podcast. I am so excited to talk to you just because you're the writer of Cabrini. I feel like there's so many questions I could ask you, but great. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. I'm happy to
Absolutely.
Be here.
Absolutely. Yeah. So tell us what Cabrini is, first of all. Just give everybody a frame of reference.
Well, Cabrini is a major movie coming out on March 8th, all over the world, but definitely all over America. Probably 2,800 to 3,000 screens. Wow. So a major release. And it's, I believe, a beautiful movie about a very important person in our history that has been largely forgotten. And her name is Francesca Cabrini. And it's a beautiful, inspirational, and I think important story.
Yes, it really is. You are the screenwriter of this beautiful film. I totally agree. The writing, we're going to dig into that, is beautiful. The cinematography, beautiful. The entire story is amazing. When I watched the film, I thought to myself, how have we never heard of Cabrini before? How did we not know who she was? Because she has established hospitals and much more across the entire world. How did we not know who she was?
It's a very interesting question, and I do not have a good answer for it. I wonder about the same thing, because you know, if you've seen the movie, at the very end, there are pictures of from actual history of the events in her life, and one of them is this massive 1947 event at Soldier Field in Chicago, where there were hundreds of thousands of people there and hundreds of thousands of more listening to her canonization all across the, I mean, she was a major figure in the 40s in America, like a major figure. So how in those intervening years, she got lost to our national consciousness, it makes no sense to me, and I have no idea how it happened. And because the biggest corollary to her is Mother Teresa. And you say Mother Teresa, and everyone nods their head like, well, of course I know Mother Teresa. How could you not know Mother Teresa? But Mother Teresa only exists because of Mother Cabrini. Mother Teresa was at the event, at the canonization at the Vatican. And she decided, because I'm so inspired by Cabrini, I'm going to leave my order and start my own order in Calcutta. She founded her entire order out of inspiration from Cabrini. So I don't know the answer to the question. It's confusing and strange, but we're trying to fix it with this movie.
Well, you're doing an amazing job. Truly, this film, I watched it a couple of times because I just felt it's like I couldn't even take it all in one sitting, one watching at one time, because it was so good, so deep. This woman really paved the way, like you said, for Mother Teresa. I didn't even know that part, but for how many other women to say, okay, I can do some of the things that the Lord is calling me to do. You want to talk about faith in action. This woman would not take no for an answer. It is so beautiful. Tell me how you got involved with this film.
Well, the executive producer, Eustace Wolfington, came to me almost exactly 6 years ago right now, and said, would you like to write a movie? And he framed it as the first American saint. And I have to say, my answer was, no, I'm not interested, because I figured it had to be sort of, or it would be pious and sort of boring. And I don't, that's not my kind of movie. And then I read about her and I discovered, okay, wow. Okay, no, she is a powerhouse. She's an entrepreneur. She's a businesswoman. Of course, she's a holy, deeply pious woman, but you don't have to show her praying in the movie, because she did so many active, amazing things that are actually way more dramatic than watching somebody pray in silence.
Yeah.
So it became quickly apparent that that not only was it an important story, but it would be a good story. It would be a movie story. And that's largely because she's the ultimate underdog.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was arrayed against her. I mean, she was a woman in a man's world. She was Italian in a country that largely believed Italians were sort of way below second-class citizens, sort of, you know, the lowest of the low. And she was a Catholic in a country that still didn't really accept Catholics. So it she was sort of a triple underdog. And she was very sickly and wasn't expected to live more than a couple years for her whole life. So I think of it as an underdog story, a Rocky story, an amazing story. And of course, it's a story of faith because that's what drove her.
Yeah. Well, this film is anything but boring. I want to talk about the one-liners in this film. So as I was preparing for this time with you, I started writing out the one-liners, and there are so many. I don't want to spoil all of them for everybody, but they were so good. What is maybe one or two that really stood out to you that you wanted to share with everybody?
I have a bunch of lines that I really love in the movie. I think begin the mission and the means will come is a very beautiful, sort of very pithy statement that really encapsulates how Cabrini lived. None of this made any sense. What she did made no sense to the regular world, people who operate in the world in the normal way. I mean, normally you would say, I'm going to raise some money. I'll get a board of people together. We'll have at least money to, you know, to get it. Like, no, just start on these astonishingly big things, and the means will come when you need them. Well, that is faith. That is faith in action. And I do think it's a beautiful statement. One of my other favorite lines, it's maybe just personally one of my favorites, is that when she goes back to Italy, the Pope says, you fascinate me, Cabrini. I can't tell where your faith ends and your ambition begins. And I think that's how the world saw Cabrini. If you weren't a person of faith, she appeared to be a very, very ambitious businesswoman. And actually, I think she was. Yes. I think she was just very ambitious, but she was ambitious on behalf of the people she served. It was never for her own glory or certainly not her own enrichment, because she didn't make a penny off of anything. Of course, she was a nun. So I do enjoy that line in particular, because I think that says something about the woman, that that's actually a very telling kind of idea about her inner self.
I've heard before where people may have self-ambition, but that's worldly. She had godly ambition. She had the ambition to do what God was calling her to do. And she paved the way for so many others to do the same thing. The one-liner, the quote that I really enjoyed was, the world is too small for what I intend to do. I mean, that woman was on a mission to make something happen, and she did it. It was so inspiring to watch this film. So what was the process for you of researching and bringing her story to the page and then to the screen?
Well, the process was to read as many books as I could get my hands on about her or by her, her letters, books that were about the cultural environment of New York in that time, or Italy in that time. So I understood what the dynamics were in, for example, in New York. The Irish community was just getting power, and the Archbishop Corrigan, you know, is a perfect example of the dynamics between the Irish and the Italians at that time, because the Irish wanted to badly wanted to be considered Americans, and they were just kind of becoming assimilated and thought of as Americans. And here come the Italians, you know, and they're reminding everybody in America that they're all from the same church, and they're all, it was extraordinarily inconvenient for the Irish to have the Italians come. And it created, as you know from the movie, it created a lot of conflict for the Archbishop, who was trying to basically serve his people, the Irish, but didn't want to forget about the Italians, who are also part of his flock. So all of that, all of those dynamics came out of research that from books. And then I went to Italy and kind of walked in Cabrini's footsteps, which was beautiful. And I learned some really important things there. For example, that Senate scene that you probably remember from the movie where she sort of storms into the Senate uninvited and changes the minds of all these men there. That does not appear in any book, which is astonishing and makes no sense to me. I mean, actually it does make sense, but I'll tell you why I think it makes sense in a second. But I overheard that story at dinner in a little convent with her sisters in Northern Italy. And I overheard it and I just turned and said, now wait, please, sister, tell me that story. Like, so yeah, she burst into the Senate and changed the minds of the entire Italian Senate. I'm like, okay, how could this not be in any book? But first of all, my thought was, at least I now know that's such a great scene that I know where this movie's heading. That's going to be in the third act. We've got to be building the story to land somewhere around there because that scene can't be missed. So it actually gave me a roadmap. And I only learned that through going to Italy.
Wow, that's amazing. What an experience for you of just researching, finding the highlights. What was most surprising for you about her life?
Oh, so many surprising things. I actually think, and this relates a little bit to that Senate story I was going to say. You might wonder, I certainly did, why that story wouldn't appear in any book. Why it's such a great story. Why wouldn't that show up in these books? And I have a theory and I'll share it with you and see if you think it makes sense. In those years, it was the 20s and 30s. She had already died. And people were now writing about her in order for her to become a saint, because that's how it works in the church. You know, after a person dies, then they go through this process. And I believe that the people who were writing those books essentially whitewashed took out the really disruptive, sort of edgy, when she had sharp elbows, which she did. It was not what people in those times thought a woman who was trying to be a saint should act like. Oh, wait, no, you don't burst into the chamber of men, grab their attention and force them to listen to your speech about immigration, then change their hearts. It's not how women were supposed to operate, certainly not saintly women. So that, I think, was one of the most surprising things about Cabrini, is that the deeper I got into the research and into my own sense of who she was, I learned how to read between the lines and understand that she was actually more disruptive, more inconvenient, more edgy than people think. And the greatest honor was when the women of her order today saw the movie and they said, yes, that was her, that you captured who we believe she was. And that's a great honor.
Yeah, absolutely. Such a well done film. I mean, the music, the, like I said, the cinematography, the idea, not just about her, but of New York City and what was really going on at that time. It just is very thought-provoking. It's very interesting. What were some of the challenges as you wrote this script then?
Well, I think the biggest challenge for her was to was how to compress a long, incredibly rich, varied life into a little bit over two hour movie. It's very, very difficult. And so you can't do a cradle to grave sort of typical biopic. There's just too much. And frankly, it would be repetitive because once she established herself, she could really go to a city and get an institution running in a matter of weeks and go to the next place. It was almost like a McDonald's. I mean, she knew how to do it. She was a franchisor and she figured out her system. She put the women on the ground. She had trained them how to lead, trained them how to run these institutions, and she moved on and they flourished. So the challenge was how to compress this life and how to build a story around what I think usually in movies and drama, the most interesting parts of the story are the one where the person meets the most resistance, has the most obstacles. And it was absolutely the case for her that her first years in New York, when she came with nothing, with a few sisters, that was the most difficult time of her entire life and entire mission. So I chose to focus on those years and really build the story around the difficulties and the obstacles that she faced right in her first years in New York.
Yeah. And what she ended up doing was building an empire of hope, not just for nuns, not just for the people that surrounded her, for the people who were truly in need, and not just in New York City, but around the world. It's just so intriguing to me of what one person can truly do when they set out and just listen to what the Lord has for them to do in their life, and people get on board, and it truly can change the world. It's a beautiful story. Where can audiences go to find out more about Cabrini?
They can go to angel.com. Angel is the distributor, and they have a beautiful website with ticket information, show times. You can choose your seat through this website. And there's resources there, live streams that we've done over the last few months that have resources and information and background information about the making of the movie, and there's trailers. So everything is pretty much available on the Angel website. So I encourage people to go there and buy their tickets.
Yeah,
do it in absolutely. Advance. Do some pre-sales, buy some pre-sales. It really makes a difference, because the challenge for any independent movie like us is to hold theaters, is to keep those screens open so that word of mouth can build. And we do that by convincing theaters that there's a demand. And that is really driven by pre-sale. So if you can get out and buy things in the next week, it would make a big difference. And get your friends. If you're a woman, get a bunch of girlfriends and go. If you're a man, get a bunch of friends and go. You'll love it. It's not just for women at all. I mean, every man who's seen it has the same feelings that the women do, because it's just about a human being who had incredible determination.
And even children, it's a family friendly movie. Yes. For sure. Yeah. I mean, anybody could go. I always say to, you know, go the opening weekend, which it opens March 8th, and go the opening weekend, because as an independent film, like you said, let's support the films that we want there to be more films like this made that we truly can enjoy and be inspired by and encouraged by. And it's family friendly. You can take all of your friends. The other thing I would say is take your friends who may not typically be excited about going to a Christian film. This is it's lighter on the faith side. It's very strong because she was a woman in action. Faith, you know, faith was her driving force. And I just feel like people who may not have a strong faith right now will be very drawn to, like, what drove her? And it was God. God did this in her life. So I think it's a great way to share the love of Jesus with others as well. You were talking about independent films. You also were a part of Sound of Freedom. You were the screenwriter for Sound of Freedom. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
What a film. What a film. I mean, that was like such a great film. Again, watched it a few times because it was such an eye-opener. Tell me about your experience with Sound of Freedom. And then, like, what's next for you? You're doing Sound of Freedom, Cabrini, and then what's next for you?
Well, Sound of Freedom was, you know, it was a unexpected experience. It had sat on the shelf for a few years. It kind of, COVID was part of that, and corporate Hollywood shuffling. Fox was purchased by Disney, and the movie kind of got lost in that shuffle. And then people saw it and turned it down, because it was only in retrospect does Sound of Freedom seem like a no-brainer. I mean, it was at the time, it's like a child trafficking movie. Could there be a less attractive top? I mean, it's really just, it's like, oh yeah, let's go see the new trafficking movie. People don't think like that. And so it was actually a very, very difficult thing to do. And we're very grateful to Angel for taking that chance and for marketing it really well, so that people could understand that the heart of this movie is about helping children and bringing light to this issue. And so I'm really grateful to them for that. And it's great. I'm grateful that the movie did what it did. It was a surprise to everyone, for sure, in terms of it's just sort of caught fire, and became really an international sort of thing. And that's wonderful because Mira Sorvino, who's one of the actors in the movie, has some sort of official capacity with the UN about trafficking and child trafficking. And so she really knows what's going on out there. And she said that the movie really has changed the conversation, the way people in politics and policy talk about this issue around the world. And that's wonderful. And we're hoping that Cabrini doesn't have that same super clear one issue mission like Sound of Freedom. But I think it is the same kind of movie in the sense that people watch it, think about it, want to go back and see it again. And it gives, I think, a sense of hope in a time right now that is really needs that. And maybe even a sense of unity. We're so divided right now. And I think Cabrini, the themes are so transcendent that they really do bring us together, because we really do believe in these things, like the dignity of people and the how we should treat those who are suffering. These things we agree on. We may not agree on policy, and we often don't, but we actually do agree on these transcendent things, and that's what Cabrini's life was dedicated to.
So good. So what's next for you?
Well, a bunch of things, and there's some things that are too early to talk about. Some things that might be a little different, and some things that might be kind of along these themes. And we'll see. You know, it's a very dynamic time right now. So part of what I think is happening right now is we're going to let Cabrini kind of do her work in the world for a little while, and then I'll poke my head up and see what the next calling is.
Yeah, that's good. I have one last question for you, and you can share anything else you want to. How has working with Cabrini changed your life?
Wow. In a lot of ways. First of all, her determination, her refusal to back down when there are tremendous obstacles, but always doing it with love. These things are very powerful. And when you live with someone like you do when you're a writer, they kind of become part of your life. I had never heard of Cabrini, and now I definitely have a devotion to Mother Cabrini, as the saint. And that's beautiful. And of course it sort of in the practical world, anytime you have a movie come out on this scale, it's a little bit life-changing. You don't really know how it's all going to end up, but for these moments right here, it's quite exciting, and it's happening at a scale that is really amazing for a movie like this. Like Sound of Freedom, which was about a topic that isn't initially like the most appealing thing in the world. It's not like Hollywood is saying, hey, when's our next nun movie? Who's got a nun movie out there? That's not how it works. So we knew we had challenges on that front, because people think it's going to be, I don't know, what, you know, kind of boring, and it's just not, you know. So yeah, it's a dynamic story. As our executive producer says, he wanted it, the model for the movie for him was Gandhi, which is a beautiful movie, an Oscar-winning movie, an epic movie. But he said, as it's a movie about a person of faith, it's not our faith, it's not a Christian faith, but the faith didn't get in the way of that movie. You just knew that the man was committed to changing lives. And it was the same sort of effort and idea that we took to Cabrini. Of course, she's a person of faith, 100%, that completely drove her. But we didn't want that to get in the way of people seeing a beautiful movie about a beautiful person who was also a dynamic entrepreneur and a woman of the world in many ways. We hope it gets out in a big way, and that people see it of all faiths and of no faith, and just come and enjoy this inspirational story of a beautiful woman.
Yes. Well, I just want to thank you for your diligence and your wherewithal, your perseverance in creating both Cabrini and Sound of Freedom, because they're both films that can truly change people, you know, change their perspective on what they're capable of, what is going on in the world, and how they can make a difference. So thank you so much for your, just diligence in doing what the Lord has called you to do as well. Everyone, go see Cabrini.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Go see Cabrini. March 8th, it opens. Buy your tickets now and support these amazing films that are being created by Angel Studios with Rod Barr as the screenwriter. And we can't wait to see what you do next. Thanks so much for being
here. Oh, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Thanks for your support.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Thanks for listening today. Be sure to subscribe to the show and like us. Hey, would you tell a friend about the show? That would really help us out. You can find out more by going to faithfilmfan.com. That's faithfilmfan.com.